Thank you for just the glorious morning out there. And I just thank you for who you are, that you're God, and that you love us beyond comprehension. And so, Father, help us this morning to be listening for you, for your Holy Spirit, and that we would be willing then to act upon what you tell us. Father, use me as your vessel to speak, and just everything that goes on here today, whether upstairs, downstairs, wherever, that it would be honoring and glorifying to you. Let me pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to go ahead and do announcements now. Diane, why don't you go ahead and come on up? Got an opportunity here in the community that Diane wants to share with us.
Good morning. So in case you don't know me, my name is Diane. In addition to working here at the church, I'm also overseeing the food pantry next door. About a year ago, I became aware of a program called Bite to Go, which is Second Harvest wanted to get it here in the Nine Mile District. It's totally in the Spokane, Springdale, Loon Lake, all kinds of district, pretty much everybody but us. So the Bite to Go program is a supplemental program that kids who are identified through the schools, and so it's anonymous to those of us outside the school, who are identified that are food insecure or need extra food on the weekends. And so the program, so a person sponsors that child for a year, and then the school makes sure that those backpacks have extra food in them every Friday. So that just started. We have 6 kids at the Nine Mile Elementary School and 10 kids at Lake Spokane Elementary. Suncrest Family Worship Center is the sponsor. You have to have at least one person that's willing to commit to the 3 years, and they're willing to do that. And in working with them, we wanted to do something in the summertime. So you'll see an insert in your bulletin. And let's see. I'm already past where I was going to be. I'm trying to make this the Cliff Note version. So in the bottom of your bulletin is a website, 2 websites that talks more about Bite to Go. And I could talk for a long time about Bite to Go because it's a pretty incredible program. But I'm here to talk a little bit more about the summer program that we and other churches and organizations in the community want to do on a weekly basis to provide a free activities for kids and a free lunch. So what the food pantry's part of all that is to provide the free lunch. So there's 2 opportunities, well, 3 things you could check. If you want to help us pack lunches on Mondays, if you'd actually like to help on, so it's on Wednesdays 10 to 12 at the middle school, starts Wednesday, July 12th through Wednesday, August 23rd. And it says Summer Fun Camp, but we may already have changed the name of it. So you know how things go by committee. Sometimes things get changed. So if you see it written a different way, which it, I think we might call it the Summer Breakaway. But anyway, this tells you a little bit more about what will happen on that 2-hour time each week. It's open to all kids, not just the Bite to Go kids, because all kids need something fun to do, and it's free. So read more about it. If you have questions, you can contact me. And I think it's a great opportunity for our community to come together.
Great. Thanks, Diane. Uh-huh. So I'm just going to go ahead and continue on with some announcements here. Excuse me. One of the things that I want you all to be aware of and to be praying about is we have been approached by the community center to basically take it over. They are not able to, from a financial standpoint, to make a go of it. They don't have enough income coming in. There's not enough participation. And so they've approached the church to say, would you guys just take it? And the idea would be that it would then just become part of our facilities. They being a nonprofit, they basically have to give it to a nonprofit. You know, there's no they can't sell it, then they would have to do something with that money, would have to go that way too. So anyway, just would encourage you to be praying about that. We're in the process of just kind of looking at it and seeing how that might work. So would really appreciate your prayers on that. Baccalaureate service is coming up May 31st. That's the service for the seniors, time of sharing what God's doing in their lives, and it's just a spiritual focus for the seniors. And then summer camp's coming up. If those of you who might be interested in scholarships, whether to give or to get, need to let us know on that. If you want to give a scholarship, it's about $200 per child. You don't have to do that whole amount. You can do any amount. Last year, we helped 8 kids go to camp, and so that's always something that we have done here for quite a while. Meals Ministry, they're kind of redoing that again as far as getting meals put back together and finding out people who want to help with doing meals. Vacation Bible School is coming up. They're having a meeting actually today if you want to help with that. And then just by way of keeping you informed about what's going on with the building, we will pretty much have used up our funds once the sheetrock is done. And so we will be doing another push for getting the rest of the funds that we need to finish. And so that would basically be the painting and then the finish things inside. So that will be coming up. And then today after the service, we'll have the Sharpies again. The doorways open. You can go in and write verses if you didn't get to do that last week. And I know some people couldn't remember their verses last week, so they were hoping they could do it again this week. So that'll be available after the service to do. All right. So taking a little bit of departure from the Matthew series. So if you were Mark, that was an M. That was close. No. So if you were here last week, you heard Gina Fry, about just her experience, kind of her witness, what she's gone through, and kind of how God really has made a breakthrough with her, her and Vince both. And I want to follow up with that. You know, it was kind of like, she laid a lot on you. And it was very emotional, very good. Gina, you did an awesome job. You really did. And we hear things like that sometimes, and maybe we're going through stuff in our lives, and it's like, okay, so that worked for her, but that's not me. What do I do? And so I kind of wanted to follow up with this a little bit. 1 John 4, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And that's really, if you've got issues in your life, if you're trying to break down barriers and break the chains of whether it's substance abuse or materialism or gluttony or lust or whatever it is that has a hold of your life, you need God. I mean, really, God is the only one that is really, truly going to set you free. There are lies that we believe, lies that the world tells us, lies that the enemy tells us. And if we don't get the truth in us, if we don't understand God's word and what he says, we continue to believe the lies. We continue to believe that really we're no good. Satan doesn't want us to believe at all that God loves us. There's going to be a lot of scripture today. There's a handout in your bulletin, and I've included all the scripture references there, but there will be a lot of scripture today. So just be aware of that. We need to think differently. We need to change the how we think about things in life. Again, like I said, believing the lies or believing the truth. Romans 8:6 says, for the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is peace. It's a different way of thinking. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." And that is what needs to happen. Those who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior yet, they're thinking wrongly. Their mind is corrupt. And even those of us who have accepted Christ as our Savior, it's so easy to slip back into believing the lie. Believing the lie. So our relationship with God is so important. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." Taking every thought captive, the good ones, the bad ones, need to be under control. And really, only the Holy Spirit can do that. Our relationship with God is key. Kind of the main passage for today is Psalms 107, 10 through 16. God speaking to the people says, "There were those who dwelt in darkness and the shadow of death, prisoners in misery and chains, because they had rebelled against God's word and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, He humbled their heart with labor. They stumbled, and there was none to help. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their bands apart. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness, for his wonders to the sons of men, for He has shattered the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron asunder." Remember that picture that Gina gave us? She's hanging onto the bars. She's got the chains. And God says here, He will break those down. He will break the chains. He will break the bars. But we have to give in to Him. We have to totally submit to Him. And it's not by our works. There's nothing we can do to work our way into God's favor. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You can't get yourself to a certain point and then think, okay, now I can be saved because now God will accept me. No. He accepts you in your sin because He loves you that much. Jesus in John 8 says, "If you continue in My word, then you are truly disciples of Mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. But you know, the problem is we have this sin nature, this flesh, that we still have. God doesn't eradicate that. And it's something we have to fight against, let alone the enemy, Satan, who wants to beat us down. Galatians 5:1 says, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery." The issue the Galatians had was they were saved in Christ, but then people came along and started telling them, "Well, but you need to be circumcised, and you need to do this, and you need to do that." And Paul is going, "No. Why would you go back to that slavery when you've been freed by the blood of Christ? There is nothing you can do to earn God's favor." We need to pray We need to have that communication with God. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." When you have your prayer time with God, do you ever envision yourself literally going into the throne room and God sitting on the throne and you go and sit at his feet and talk to him? Because that's the picture that we should have. Jesus has made that way for us. Romans 8:26 says, "In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." There's times when you may have to just go sit before God and you don't say a thing because you're at the place where you literally, you don't know what to say. You can't even get anything out. And what God tells us here is that his Spirit will take those things to God and let him know where you're at. We need to have a submissive attitude. James 4:6 says, "God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." And then verse 10 says, "Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord and he will exalt you." He will exalt you. Now, these are all things that are they're easy to say. They're not so easy to do. And this is very key in breaking down the strongholds, in breaking the chains, is we need other people. You've got to have other people in your life that will speak honestly to you. You know, we as human beings, many times, if we want to get some counsel, we'll go pick the people that we know that are going to tell us what we want to hear. Right? Because we know those people that if we go to them, they're going to be brutally honest. And we don't really want to hear that. But those are the people we need to go to. When we're struggling with things, when we need help in our life, we need those people in our lives who will be brutally honest, who love us, but will be honest. We need to submit to one another. Galatians 2:6 says, "Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ." You know what happens? Oh, well, I don't want to burden them. What does God's word say? Bear one another's burdens. I mean, some of it is we're ashamed. Well, I don't want to share that. But you need to. You need to have people in your life who you can go to and you can be honest and vulnerable and that you don't need to be ashamed. Because the body of Christ is here for one another. We need to help out one another. And sometimes we don't want to hear it, but yet out of love for that person, we need to hear it. We need to listen to what they're saying. And pray for them and with them. And tell them that we will stand with them no matter what. If you're having trouble at 2 o'clock in the morning, call me. We need to have that kind of love for one another. Don't isolate. It's so easy for us to do that. You know, again, what Gina talked about, putting on the face. Oh, everything's fine, everything's good, you know, no problem. And yet, when you look at the group they have around them, there's not very many, if any, and they start pulling back, they start isolating because things aren't going well. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, "If one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart." We need to work together. We need to be strong. I think of, we've got a group of people that are going to Africa this summer. You know, the enemy doesn't like that. And he's going to do what he can to make a mess of that. And it's where they have to draw together and they have to be tighter and closer and don't let any of the lies that come in disrupt what's going on. That they need to have that good communication with one another and making sure that they're hearing what they're hearing. You know, and you get in those stressful situations and sometimes you say things you shouldn't. But what you have to remember is, you know, don't take that to heart because you have to understand the situation. And we all do that. We do that in our families, right? Kind of get stressed out and you say things you wish you hadn't said. Never? Who said that? Vince. And we have to, you know, that term of, you know, taking something with a grain of salt. Sometimes those hurts. You have to do that same thing. And you have to say, okay, you know, this it's a tough situation right now, and what they're saying, I don't know that they really mean that. And then being able to come back and have the conversation about it. The enemy would divide and conquer. I mean, we've all heard that term. Because what happens, you know, it's kind of like the weak animal, you know, they start straggling behind. Well, that's the one that gets eaten. Because it's not with the group. It doesn't have that group around them that keeps them safe. And spending time in prayer with one another. Spending time in prayer with one another. In Acts 1:14, it talks about the early church. And it says, these all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. I've said this before and I will continue to say it. There is something about the relationship changes when you pray with one another. Some of that honesty and that vulnerability comes out. People hear your heart when you're talking to your Heavenly Father, and it changes the relationship. I encourage you to pray together. You know, find a prayer partner even that you can spend consistent time with praying. We need to have those relationships with others. And then a relationship with ourselves. A relationship with ourself. Philippians 3:13-14 says, this is Paul speaking, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know, the enemy wants to keep bringing up those things. Oh, remember when you did this? Remember when you did that? Well, God can't accept that. God doesn't love you. How can you ask for forgiveness? Well, very easily. Just ask for forgiveness. Amen. And God will forget it. If we confess our sins before Him, if we ask for forgiveness, it's a done deal. As far as He's concerned, it's gone. It's done. But we need to be honest with ourselves. We need to be careful what we're believing. Again, we need to believe the truth and not the lie. Genesis 3, the greatest lie that ever happened. When Satan came to Eve and started questioning her about what God said. It says, now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any of the tree of the garden? He put a question in her mind. And the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden God has said, you shall not eat it or touch it, or you will die. The serpent says to the woman, Surely you won't die, for God knows that in the day you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Obviously, God wants that for you. There was a little bit of truth in there, but there was also a lie in there. Satan is really good. He's really good. We see it right here, how he was able to just put that little bit of doubt, that little bit of question in her mind. And part of the issue was that she didn't totally understand the truth. I've used this illustration before when it comes to understanding the truth. So when people are taught to recognize a counterfeit, they study the real thing. They don't study counterfeits. They study the real thing. So that when a counterfeit comes, it's just like that. It's like, oh, something's different here. Something's not right about this. It's the same with God's Word. We have got to know God's Word. We have got to have it within us. So when the counterfeit comes, it's just like that. We're going, oh, wait a minute. Something's not right here. And that's what should have happened with Eve. She should have went, now wait a minute. This doesn't sound right. Something's not right here. We've got to know God's Word. And we've also got to forgive ourselves. You know, that's probably a lot of times more difficult than forgiving other people, is forgiving ourselves, is realizing that, you know, I've made a mistake. I whatever I need to do to try to amend that, and then to forgive myself and to not allow the enemy to keep coming and going, you're no good, you did this, you did that, God doesn't love you, God can't use you. And then forgiving others. Unforgiveness is so destructive. Because so many times we'll think, well, I'm not going to forgive them. See how they feel about that. Well, you know what? Most of the time, they don't care. You know who it affects? It affects you because you're not forgiving. And it tears you apart. It breaks relationship. It breaks relationship with others. It breaks relationship with God. Because how in the world can you go before God and ask any forgiveness of Him when you can't even forgive your brother? And that shame comes in. And the enemy comes in and says, what right do you have to go before God when you're like this? And then, of course, there's generational issues. You know, there's just stuff from our background. There's stuff from our families that we've just grown up that way. And some of it, a lot of it sometimes, isn't good. And we tend to keep propagating that. It's amazing how emotions come up on some things. When Lynn and I got married, one of the things that we said was we will not get divorced because both of our families and our backgrounds was divorce. And we made that commitment. Now, I will have to say, though, she was absolutely convinced, no, we shouldn't get divorced. But God, I think you need to take him out. Until death do us part, right? So, yeah. But it's hard. It's hard. some of those generational things are just, you know, they're so ingrained. But you need to get to the point where you're understanding the difference between the truth and the lie. And to be able to say, no, I refuse to live that way anymore. That you realize those things that come up. You know, you react to something. I mean, ever react to something and went, oh my gosh, that was my father. Or, oh my gosh, that was my mother. And you're like, ooh, ooh, ee, ooh, ooh. I'm sure there's a lot of us that have said, I will never, because that's what my parents did. And then we end up doing it. And there's some good things, though. You know, I mean, there's good things that we've learned from our parents, too. But we have to be so careful about those bad habits, those bad traits that just kind of keep coming. And then don't make the excuse, well, that's the way I was raised. Or that's, you know, that's my parents' fault. You know, our society does that. It's always someone else's fault, right? I mean, you hardly ever see anybody take responsibility. Whether it's politicians or just regular people, whoever it is. You know, it'd be nice just once to have somebody stand up and say, yep, I messed up. I take full responsibility. I made the wrong choice. I messed up. Wouldn't you be so ready to forgive that person instead of the one that keeps going, well, right. You know, this person and, you know, that aide and, you know, that representative and, you know, we always want to make an excuse. And, well, no, it's not my fault. And then some of the things that we go through in this life, the trials of life, God will use. In 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. You know, God doesn't waste that stuff. He will use it. You know, it is not a coincidence that Gina is trying to minister to girls who've gone through the same stuff that she's gone through. Because who can speak to that? You know, I could go talk to them and say, well, here's what you're supposed to do and here's how it is. And they're just going to go, yeah, you've not been where I've been. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what this is like. But when the person then can stand there and say, yeah, I do. And here is what I've gone through. You can empathize with them. You can sympathize with them. It's just different. You're able to do that, and they see it. Romans 8:28 says, we know that God causes all things to work together for good. There's more to the verse, right? We love that first part. Those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. He doesn't work good for everything and everybody. He will work good to those of us who are called to His purpose, and who love Him. And when we're in the midst of it, we don't necessarily think it's good. But what He also promises is He will use that stuff to help others. We're going to go late. I'm just telling you right now, because we already have. It's a spiritual battle. The Bible makes that very clear. In Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. It's so easy to forget that there is an enemy out there who is working overtime to destroy anything that God tries to do. Literally wants to destroy mankind. We need to be aware of that. 1 Peter 5. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith. Resist. And remember what James says. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But you got to do that first part. Submit to God. Ephesians 6 goes into this whole scenario about the warfare and that we're to put on certain pieces of armor. The belt of truth, and we talked about that. Don't believe the lies, you got to believe the truth, and the truth will set you free. The breastplate of righteousness, being in right standing with God. The shoes of the gospel of peace. The shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. And we need to be in prayer. We need to be always bringing ourselves before God and talking to Him and asking Him what He wants us to do. We need to be in prayer with other people, committing to one another, standing with one another. And then again in James 4:7, that submitting to God. Submitting to God. You know, I have to tell you, I have a real pet peeve. And when people start talking about Satan. And this term that I hear is, pray that Satan will be bound. You know what? Satan's not going to be bound for a long time. He eventually will. But what we're to pray is, I am to submit to God and resist the enemy, and he will flee. So don't pray for Satan to be bound, because he's not going to be bound. Have you read the end of the book? One day he'll be taken care of. But right now, he's got a lot of rain. And that's why we need to know the truth. We need to submit to God. We need to resist the enemy. When he comes in and starts telling us those lies that sound kind of good, we need to know the truth so well that we understand that no, he's feeding us a line. So what's stealing your freedom in Christ? What's holding you back from living fully for God? And what are you going to do about it? Let's pray. Father God, it is imperative that we know the truth. And it says the truth will set us free. We need to know the truth so well that when we hear the lie, we immediately know that it's a lie. The enemy would like nothing better than to see those of us who are believers stumble and fail, and be a bad witness. So, Father, help us through the power of your Holy Spirit to stand firm, to resist the enemy, to submit to the Father. And we need to do it together. One person doesn't go into battle against hundreds. It takes an army. Oh, Father, help us to remember that we need to draw near. We don't pull away. When things get tough, don't pull away. Draw close. And Father, I pray that if there are people here this morning, and I'm sure there are, we all struggle with different things, that there's just something that they continually struggle with. They can come talk to me, Pastor Aylor. There's people in their lives that they can go to that will tell them the truth and will speak honestly and openly and will continue to love them. Help them to move in that direction so that those chains can be broken and the bars can be torn down. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Got a